Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Terry. On today's show, it's our pledge drive. This is your chance to show your appreciation to the volunteers who bring you Jaws of Justice each week. Today, we'll hear host Keith Brownell talk with Cliff Middleton about justice, truth, and his father, Ken Middleton. In February 1990, Ken Middleton and his wife, Kathy, were the only two people in their Blue Springs house when a bullet from Ken's gun ended Kathy's life. Ken Middleton was given a prison sentence of life plus for first-degree murder and armed criminal action. Ken has always said Kathy's death was a tragic accident, not a homicide. Middleton, his son Cliff, and investigators who have studied his case allege corruption and incompetence of police, defense attorneys, and prosecutors landed Ken Middleton in jail and have kept him there. Since 1991, Cliff Middleton has spent part of every day working to prove that his father didn't murder Kathy Middleton. We'll hear from Cliff today. We'll bring you the calendar at the middle of our program. We hope you'll listen. Now, our show.
For 30 years, Kenneth Middleton has been serving life without parole in the Missouri Department of Corrections. He is there for the murder of his wife, Kathy. From day one, Middleton has always maintained that he is innocent of this crime and that the only reason he is in prison is because the Blue Springs Police Department and the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office withheld and concealed crucial evidence in this case that would have exonerated him. So today on our show, I will be talking to Mr. Clifford Middleton, who is Kenneth Middleton's son. After listening to Middleton's son explain the situation, it does appear that the claims made by his father do have merit and that this is a story that is worthy of being shared with our audience. With that, I'd like to say good morning to everyone. My name is Keith Brownell, and welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Middleton. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, Keith. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Can you tell our audience a little bit about your situation and why you're here today?
Yeah, I'm here to bring awareness to wrongful convictions. My father's wrongful conviction in 1991, and I've spent 30 years, basically all of my adult life, trying to exonerate him.
And what is your father's name?
Kenneth Middleton.
And he's been in prison for 30 years now?
Yes.
Okay, and what was he in prison for?
For the death of my stepmother. She tragically mishandled a .357 Magnum, and it went off striking her.
So she actually caused her own death?
Yes, it was just a tragic accident that was turned into a crime, is what it was.
And how did they make a determination that he was in some way responsible?
Well, the main focus of their investigation was that he was feigning hysteria and that he called 911 five times. He was hysterical, and that was mainly their focus. Right away, they got a gut feeling that something wasn't right, and once they focused on him, they got tunnel vision, and it went from there.
So they just made a determination that in spite of whatever evidence showed and what the evidence didn't show, that he was responsible for her death, based on their suspicions.
Yes, the investigation was just riddled with so many errors of police incompetence and police corruption. One of the determining factors to determine if someone has fired a gun is gunshot residue. And they tested both of my father's hands, and both hands came back negative. They tested both of my stepmother's hands. But before they turned it into the lab, the left hand was destroyed and withheld. And they never turned the left hand into the lab, and she was shot on the left side of her head from 8 to 12 inches away. This was very disturbing evidence that the jury was never alerted to, and subsequently, 14 years later, his conviction was overturned.
Overturned by who?
By the same trial judge that sent him to prison to die. He was sentenced to life without parole. And Judge Edith Messina, one of the most conservative judges in the state of Missouri, after conducting a two-day evidentiary hearing, ruled that had the jury known about the destroyed gunshot residue, he wouldn't have been convicted, and she tossed out his conviction.
And this was in what county?
This was in Jackson County, Missouri in 2004.
Okay, and how old were you at that time?
2004, I was 35.
Were you called to testify, or were you present when this happened? Or
yes,
in the house?
Yes. No, I wasn't present when it happened in the house. I was 20 years old when my stepmother died, but I did grow up there. So he married my stepmother when I was 5 years old, and so, yeah.
What did you testify to when they called you to court, just about his character and things of that nature and their relationship?
Yes, about that, and also about the police had altered the crime scene, and I testified about the crime scene a little bit in front of the judge.
But this didn't happen at the jury trial?
No.
Why wouldn't they let you testify at the jury trial?
They didn't call me. Our defense attorney, a man by the name of Bob Duncan, was... Robert Duncan, who was one of the best in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
We found him to represent us, but we didn't know that he had just come out of retirement and was in a lot of tax evasion problems with the IRS. He was handling four murder cases at the same time, and all four of them were overturned for ineffective assistance of counsel, including my father's. Most attorneys go their whole career, Keith. They're never found ineffective. That's a very high bar to meet, to find an attorney ineffective.
Right.
And Bob Duncan had four cases overturned all at the same time. And a year after my dad's conviction, he pled guilty to $655,000 of tax evasion. So basically, he was handling as many cases as he could to cover his own rear end, and he didn't do his job. So that's why he didn't call me to answer your question.
And what court was his cases overturned in?
Jackson County.
In the circuit court level or the appellate court or whatever?
There was a Jackson County case, Lehman White. His case was overturned right in Jackson County. There was a Clay County case north of the river, Clarence Dexter. That case was overturned. My dad's case was overturned, and another case, Ed Ruscher, who had gotten the death penalty, his case was overturned, and he pled guilty and got a life without parole sentence. So four cases there.
I think Lehman White, he was on death row, and he got out.
He sure was. Lehman White went from death row to the street because of Bob Duncan's incompetence.
And so what were the grounds that the appellate court reversed your father's overturning of your conviction? Do you know what they specifically found?
Absolutely. What happened in my father's case was Judge Messina held a two-day evidentiary hearing, and you know, she had reopened his case because my father was abandoned by his appellate attorneys. And I want to hit on that a minute, Keith, because it's very crucial to what's wrong with the justice system in Missouri. And this affects all of us, not just my father. It affects everyone.
Right.
And what happened was his attorney, which is the same reason why Lehman White got out, his attorney forced him to sign an affidavit on appeal that all of his issues were in there, or you procedurally default them for the rest of your appellate process. And he forced my dad, you either sign this or you're out. And he had till the Monday deadline. So on Friday, my dad was presented with an affidavit at Potosi that you either sign this or is saying all your issues are in there or you don't get an appeal at all. So my dad was in a Hobson's choice. He either signed it and hoped he got an appeal or not sign it and not get an appeal. So he signed it, and then on Monday, the appellate attorney filed a three-page motion on my dad's life and procedurally defaulted all of his issues. So all through my dad's appellate case in the first 15 years there, none of the issues were heard by the appellate courts because of what that attorney did, defaulting all of his issues. When Judge Messina saw that, she reopened the case, and when she reopened the case and all the issues were in front of her, she overturned his conviction, and mainly because of that gunshot residue. The police destroyed gunshot residue that would have exonerated my father, because if her left hand would have been tested, it would have shown she fired the gun, and they destroyed it.
Okay, now none of this information was presented to the jury?
The jury heard none of this, and that's why Judge Messina overturned the conviction. She said if the jury would have heard this, he wouldn't have been convicted. And when you're sitting in front of the judge that sent you to prison to die and you proved to her, that's unheard of in the state of Missouri. Most appeals are overturned at the appellate court level by appeals judges who don't know the case like the trial judge does. The trial judge knew this case better than anyone. And for her to admit that a mistake like that was done in her courtroom, that was a very high bar for my father to meet, and he met it.
And so the state appealed this, and when it went to the appellate court, they reversed the trial court judge's decision.
And this is what is so upsetting with our justice system in Missouri. People need to understand this. The appellate system is set up to deny you. You have a very high bar to meet with the appellate courts. So what is very alarming about my father's case is after that evidentiary hearing in 2004, after the evidentiary concluded, it took a year for the judge to come back and give her a ruling, okay? But after the evidentiary hearing concluded, the prosecutor, Mike Sanders, offered my dad an Alford plea. He said it. They were so overwhelmed with actual innocence at this trial. There was blood spatter experts that said it was 100% impossible for him to have been around her when the gun went off because he had no blood spatter on him. And it was just overwhelming evidence. So the prosecutor came to my dad, said, if you'll plead guilty to second degree, basically, an Alford plea lets you say, I'm innocent, but you're still pleading guilty to second degree murder. My father refused that. Keith, there ain't a man in prison, a guilty man in prison, that would turn down walking out the doors. At that time, all his appeals were exhausted. So he turned down freedom to walk out the doors. And the prosecutors, when the judge, 11 months later, issued her ruling and overturned his conviction, what does Mike Sanders do? He appeals the decision. So if you'll say you're guilty, we'll let you out. But if the trial judge thinks you're innocent, we're going to appeal the decision. Now, to answer your question, to go on there, when they appealed it to the Western District Court of Appeals, 99% of the time in appeals to the appellate courts, the defendant has lost and they were denied, so you appeal it, right? Well, they hold you to this clearly erroneous standard that you got to prove the trial judge was clearly erroneous in order to overturn it. What they did in my father's case was they dropped it to de novo review and overturned the judge on procedural grounds. So basically, when you read the appellate court's decision taking away the new trial, they never got to the merits of any of the trial judge's issues that she thought he was wrongfully convicted. All they said was the trial judge didn't have jurisdiction to reopen this case, so they threw out his new trial. They never got to the merits. And so basically what's standing in the state of Missouri right now is very upsetting, because if you lose in front of the trial judge, like most inmates do, and you appeal, well, you got to prove that it's clearly erroneous standard of review. But if you win and the trial judge thinks, oh no, we made a mistake, well, then it's de novo review, which means they just throw it in the trash and they don't care about the trial judge. You get no deference. De novo means anew. You start over anew and you don't care about what the judge wrote. So it's two different standards of review in Missouri right now, one if you win and one if you lose, and it's broken. Our justice system's broken.
Now, did your father have a judge trial or did he have a jury trial?
He had a jury trial.
Hello, everyone. This is Bill Sundahl. I want to say a quick thank you to Cupini's. They are located just east of State Line on Westport Road, and thanks for supporting our volunteers and feeding them during this last fun drive. We really appreciate you.
Now the calendar for the week of October 12th. In compliance with the latest version of Mayor Lucas' emergency order, certain business activities may resume, while ensuring necessary public health measures remain in place. See the facts at kcmo.gov. Monday, October 12th, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Gun Violence Going Beyond Thoughts and Prayers is the Heartland Coalition 7th Annual Community Virtual Online Event, hosted by Grandparents Against Gun Violence. More info at mokksgagv.org. Monday Meets, 4 p.m., is an online event hosted by Willow Domestic Violence Center. Get to know the Willow, access it Facebook Live. Willow Domestic Violence Center 24-hour hotline is 785-843-3333. Wednesday, October 14th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., Real Justice Network KC Protest Support Monthly Meeting on Zoom. More info at Real Justice KC on Facebook. Thursday, October 15th, 6:30 p.m., Lawrence, Douglas County, Kansas Moms Demand Action Monthly Meeting on Zoom. 7 p.m. Thursday, Topeka Moms Monthly Meeting on Zoom. Sunday, October 18th, Missouri North Kansas City Monthly Moms Demand Action Zoom Meeting, 4 p.m. Access info for all three at act.everytown.org. Thursday, October 15th, End Evictions Rally, 8:30 a.m. at the Jackson County Courthouse, 415 East 12th, Kansas City, Missouri. More info at KC Tenants on Facebook. Friday, October 16th, 12 to 1:30 p.m., Empower Missouri Monthly Friday Forum Series, What Does Defunding the Police Mean? That's an online event. More info at empowermissouri.org. Smart Sentencing Coalition Call is Friday, October 16th from 11 to 12 noon. Access info at empowermissouri.org. A list of services, meals, and hotlines specific to sheltering is available at lawrenceprogressivecalendar.blogspot.com. That's updated daily. My name is Terry, reminding you these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org, as well as the Jaws of Justice radio Facebook page. We want to thank our engineer today, Bill Claus. Stay safe. Please take care of yourselves and others. All society pays a heavy price for decades of failing to create a rational system of health care that works for all of us. We'll now return to hear from a special guest, Jeff Humfeld, who will offer us all a chance to give to KKFI.
And I'm going to let Bill Sundahl introduce our guest, Jeff Humfeld.
Well, I think our listeners probably already know Jeff, but Jeff is the longtime producer of Jaws of Justice, and the show, I believe, was his brainchild and his passion for over 10 years. And so thank you very much, Jeff, for all the information and education you've been able to give the, you know.
Well, I appreciate that, but it was not just me. This effort has been a group effort from the very beginning, and have to give a lot of credit to Sister G as well, as far as the founding of Jaws of Justice Radio. She and I came together and got the ball rolling, so to say, at KKFI. But, you know, the reason I am the champion or whatever today for the Champions Challenge when that comes up is the fact that you know, we're trying to help you as citizens do what's right and be informed. And, you know, today's show is a real good example of one of those issues that you really need to know about. And let's face it, we have an election coming up. This is the prosecutor's race is on the ballot, and you know, I'm just looking back at just the last few months here. In July, we actually had a debate on air between the two candidates for that office, and as it turns out, that's one of the few places you're going to find that kind of you know, interaction between these two candidates, because it was announced just over the weekend that Gene Peters Baker has decided not to do any more of these. So, you know, Tracy Chappell's doesn't get a chance to make her case alongside Gene at this particular time. But if you go back and you look here for over the last few months, the issues that are really at the forefront here in Kansas City are are being covered by Jaws of Justice Radio.
That's right.
And you can help support that by calling 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And make your pledge of support to KKFI. And I, you know, for the first $100, I'm matching that. So,
all right. Thank you, Jeff.
How's that matching work there? Would you tell us?
Well,
how
I'd be happy to tell you about it. So Jeff was kind enough to throw down a $100 bill and say, I'll match the next $100 that comes in donations right now. And so we're going to do a 15-minute time span to make sure that we relieve Jeff of his $100. He really appreciates KKFI, of course. As you can hear the passion in his voice, and so can I. And if it's important to you to keep Jaws of Justice and shows like this on the air and coming to you, giving you the information that you literally can't find anywhere else, as Jeff just explained, that we're the place that aired the debate, and they're not going to do any more of those. So I thank you to our KKFI volunteers for setting that up and making that happen so that our citizens and our, potential voters can be informed, and that I can be informed by that. So to show your support right now and get your donation doubled, you can do that by calling 888-931-0901. And we have a group of donors who pooled their resources, and they're going to match the first gift of every new sustainer that comes in during this entire drive. So now is a perfect time to double your gift to KKFI. And if it's a sustainer, your first month will be tripled right now. So again, that number is 888-931-0901. And Jeff, I really, again, I can't appreciate you enough for all your years of work on Jaws of Justice. And then to, to also throw down your, not just your time and your talent, but your treasure as well. That's really above and beyond, and thank you very much.
Yeah, we're going to let you go, Jeff, but we're going to call you back in about 15 minutes so we can see how this champion match went.
Okey-doke.
All right. Well, so, again, right now is the time to double your gift to KKFI, 888-931-0901. Show your support right now, kkfi.org, and just click that donate button.
Now, I know from my own experience that the appellate court they normally say that your trial judge is closer to the situation in the courtroom than the appellate court is, and they usually give considerable deference to what the judge's findings are. But it seems that, like, when the shoe is on the other foot, then that principle does not apply. You know, there are a lot of things that's wrong with the Missouri judicial system, and they need to be corrected because they just basically have authority to just snatch people off the street, send them to prison on flimsy evidence, and then you have to go through a lot of difficult changes and things just to get back in court and get your case heard. And then if you get it reversed, then they still have the option to appeal it and try to detain you in prison for God knows how long. I think your case is very similar to what happened in the Ricky Kidd case. And he was tied up in prison for a number of years. And finally, the judge just said, okay, well, we didn't have enough of this. And he went on to let him out. Now, did he have a review by the Jackson County Conviction Integrity Unit or something? Because that sounds like the procedure that they use. They get you to try to waive all your rights when you will have your case reviewed by the Conviction Integrity Unit, as they call it. And then that means if something is found that has merit to it, then you can't take them to court, sue them for compensation for the years you spend in prison or anything else. Was this the situation in your case, or was it something different?
No, that's exactly what happened in my father's case. We filed an application for conviction review with Gene Peters Baker's office.
And Gene Peters Baker is who?
The Jackson County prosecutor.
So this was the assistant prosecutor that handled your father's case?
No. Gene Peters Baker didn't handle my father's case. No, okay. She's the one that's in there. We just filed this conviction review unit application in 2016. I think we were the first person to file with her conviction review unit. And this is what people need to understand. Jean Peters Baker hasn't seen a conviction she didn't like yet. She's got a conviction review unit, and she hasn't touched one yet.
Right.
So there's a serious problem there, number one. Number two, with our case, She ruled in a one-page, one-paragraph ruling that there was no new evidence that was not known at the time of trial. Well, if you're going to sit here and tell me that the trial judge overturning this conviction, that wasn't known at the time of trial. She wrote in her opinion that had the jury known about the gunshot residue, he wouldn't have been convicted and it would have created reasonable doubt in their mind. But Jean Peters Baker has chose to ignore that and say that there's nothing new. And even to take it one step further, Keith, the advisor to Jean Peters Baker's office right now, guess who that is? Jean Peters Baker's advisor right now to her office is Judge Edith Messina, the judge that overturned our conviction.
Oh, okay.
So she's going against her own advisor's opinion in saying that he was wrongfully convicted, and she's choosing to hide behind jurisdictional grounds. Keith, if my dad's case would have been appealed to the Western District and they looked at the appeals and said, you know what? Bob Duncan did a fine job. Bob Duncan did this. Bob Duncan did that. Your dad was not wrongfully convicted. Had they got to the merits, that's one thing. The fact that they chose to hide, the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office and Jean Peters Baker have chose to hide behind jurisdictional grounds to keep a proven innocent man in prison.
Yes.
The trial judge thinks that, and they're still continuing to hide behind jurisdiction. And that is sickening to me that that goes on in Missouri, that you put jurisdiction in front of actual innocence. The justice system is broken, and that's a lot of my passion with bringing awareness to this. It's about my father, yes, but it's about all of Missourians, and we need to think about that. When we put people in positions of power, they need to be held accountable.
Exactly.
And that's my...
Now, how old is your father? I imagine he's pretty well advanced in age now.
Yeah, my father was younger than me when he went to prison. My father was 45 and when this happened, and my father's 76.
Has there been any effort by anyone to investigate and find out what happened to the gunshot residue test or whatever it was that got lost in the shuffle, and if it's still available to possibly obtain it?
Absolutely. We filed a Sunshine Law request, our attorney, Kit Gibson, in 2016, right there around the same time as all this was going on. We filed a Sunshine Law request with the Blue Springs Police Department to look at the evidence and try to find out where the missing left hand was at. Mm-hmm. Well, they took us down into the locker evidence room, and all they would show us was boxes with the gunshot residue in there, but they wouldn't show us the kits. They just showed us boxes. And we're like, well, we need to see if that box has got the left hand in it. They wouldn't let us look. That's an automatic Brady violation. If we can find that missing left hand, they know that's an automatic new trial. They're just, and it's also a frame job. I mean, this is clearly, they collected these gunshot residue kits. My dad was not charged that day. And the police went to the autopsy the next day, and the coroner said, I'm going to rule this a homicide unless other evidence is presented to prove otherwise. She didn't die of toxicology or from drugs. They knew she died from a gunshot wound. That left hand was crucial. If that left hand comes back positive and shows she fired the gun, that he would have never been charged. So they find that out the day after she died. She died on February 12th. On February 13th, the coroner says, I'm going to rule it a homicide based on what the police are telling me, unless other evidence comes back to prove otherwise. Took them 9 days to turn that gunshot residue into the lab. And when they turn it into the lab, the left hand's missing. It's very disturbing. I mean, that's railroading somebody, because he would have never been charged. That left hand comes back positive.
Well, I've heard of other cases where they have tried to suppress evidence or to keep from turning it over to the person that's accused of the crime. Well, and like you say, that's a Brady versus Maryland violation. And the way that they get around it is they say, well, we never had the evidence. In the course of rule, they can't turn over evidence they don't have. So they lie about it. Now, this guy that prosecuted your father, who was he? Was he the prosecutor at that time, or was he an assistant prosecutor, or what?
Yeah, at the time of my dad's conviction, and to hit on what you just said there, we've got an altered document with whiteout on it that shows to and left underneath it. It shows.
Okay, I'm going to break in for just a second to let you know that you still have a chance to match your money by giving us a call, showing your support for this kind of radio. Radio like you get nowhere else. That's 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org. We'll be back to talk to you in just a few minutes.
They had two kits, and they tested her left hand. At some point, it was whited out, and the left hand was missing. So we've got documentation that they took it, and it's very strong evidence of police misconduct. And as recently as, about a month and a half ago, Gene Peters Baker was presented with that question at an ACLU Zoom video, and she still is saying it's not police misconduct. Well, if destroying gunshot, you know what? Go back and release everybody out of prison that was convicted on gunshot residue then. If that's the way you feel, okay, then you obtain convictions through gunshot residue. If you feel like gunshot residue isn't important and it's okay for you to destroy gunshot residue, so they're still defending their position on that.
And I think what probably needs to be done is that somebody needs to win or get a solid ruling out of the appellate courts that says or defines when gunshot residue has to be taken and when it does not, because as it stands right now, it's really left up to the discretion of the police department.
Mm-hmm.
I've known other cases. I know one specific case where another individual, he got fired on by the people who were accusing him of shooting at them, and he asked for a gunshot residue test, and they wouldn't give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's left up to the police's discretion. There was another case where they told another woman where her daughter was involved in a homicide. She was the victim of a homicide, and they said it was a suicide. She asked them to produce a gunshot residue test, and they told her it was too expensive. Come to find out, it only cost $25.
Uh-huh.
Who was the police chief at that time?
It was the Blue Springs Police Department, and the prosecutor on the case, to answer your question earlier, was prosecutor in Jackson County, and it was known as Dr. Death.
Mm-hmm.
They called him Dr. Death because of all the death sentences he was so proud of getting. And his name was Pat Peters. Very high profile attorney in Kansas City that passed away a couple years ago. And Pat Peters was the prosecutor in my father's case.
The prosecutors are the key to a lot of things that happen in jury trials. They're the most powerful person in the courtroom other than the judge. And in some cases, they even have more power than the judges. So one of these days, we hope that people will start paying more attention. And we hope they'll start paying attention soon since we got an election coming up. I like to thank you for coming in, sir. Your information has been very helpful and insightful. And I hope people take heed and pay attention and act accordingly.
Well, thank you for having me on, Keith. I appreciate it.
All righty.
Okay, and we like to say it over and over again. That's the kind of radio you don't get anywhere else. Those are the kind of stories. If you turn into the major networks to listen to the news, you'll find out about the guy that's been shot on the corner. But you're not going to find the stories about how people struggle with being wrongly convicted, about the challenges with our justice system, the way you will on Jaws of Justice. So I want to thank my good friend Jeff Humfeld, who's on the phone with us here, because he's one of the prime movers to help get this show started, and it's been a great asset to KKFI. And you can show your support for Jaws of Justice by giving us a call at 888-931-0901. Are you on the line, Jeff?
Yes, and I want to echo what you just said. 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And this, like I said, you know, I look back at last year's schedule, and we've been talking about these issues for a long time, but last year I came up with about six shows that were directly related to the position of the prosecutor and what they do and what we as citizens need to understand about the prosecutor's office, because it really is one of the most important positions in our community. So once again, you know, if you want to be informed and you want to understand so that you can make a good choice at the polls or know how to hold your elected officials accountable, this is where you're going to find that information. 888-931-0901. And if you want to listen to that debate between Jean Peters Baker and Tracy Chappell, that was the July 20th show of Jaws of Justice Radio. If you go back, go to the KKFI website, and under News and Public Affairs shows, you'll find Jaws of Justice Radio. You can go back and you can find that show and listen to that podcast. So, 888-931-0901.
That's right. Thank you so much, Jeff. And so, because it is clear to me that that is important information that people will be interested in hearing, I'm going to post that episode on our Facebook page right now. And so folks will be able to go check it out right there as well.
And you can still double your money right now.
That's
too.
Right. We're at the, about to the end of our champions match. So we've got a little bit of Jaws of Justice program left for you today. But right now is the time to double your gift thanks to Jeff Humfeld's generosity, who will match the first $100 that comes in during this break. So 888-931-0901. Again, that's 888-931-0901. Or you can go online at kkfi.org. While you're listening to that episode from July 20th, you can also click the donate button. It'll open up a new window, and you can make your gift right there. Thank you so much, Jeff, for your years of work. And thank you, Bill Claus, for coming in engineering today. And, yeah, make that call right now to double your gift to KKFI.
And, of course, you're going to want to stay tuned right here on KKFI as soon as this is over with for the Monday Morning Medicine Show. A great time always with some great music. So back to the programming.
Trump's COVID-19 is Biden's opportunity. Breaking news has President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump testing positive for COVID-19. Wall Street investors are uneasy and stock trading is low in response to Trump having COVID-19. The executive branch of America are contemplating whether a temporary transfer of presidential power into the hands of Vice President Mike Pence, pursuant to the 25th Amendment, should be enacted due to Trump having COVID-19. Throughout the uncertainty of President Trump's health crisis and being sidelined from his presidential campaign by COVID-19, should Joseph Biden suspend his campaign for president? Absolutely not. While President Trump is sidelined with COVID-19, possibly for 2 weeks, Joe Biden should take this opportunity to refocus the campaign message squarely on COVID-19 and Trump's incompetence and utter failure to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic in America. 200,000 COVID-19 deaths and 7 million COVID-19 infections of the most vulnerable U.S. citizens in America is inexcusable. Joe Biden should continue with his campaign for president deep into the heart of battleground states, emphasizing the points that Trump has drank his own poison Kool-Aid to not wear masks and throw precautionary measures against COVID-19 pandemic for America out of the window, has placed all American lives in peril, has crippled the economy, and has politically polarized the country. Moreover, Biden should show no public sympathy or empathy for Trump being infected with COVID-19, but should publicly express that Trump is suffering from the consequences of his own reckless acts, his delusions of grandeur, and his own propaganda. Let's see if old Joe Biden has the mentality and eye of the tiger like a fighter to finish off his opponent when he's hurt. If so, Joe Biden may actually be capable to take the White House from Trump. From the belly of the beast at prisonradio.org, I am Shaka Boner. Thank you for listening.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Sitting here in my problem, what am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it?
some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to know.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. You can always listen to us live and find our podcasts on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. This is Jamie reminding you our outro music is Better Man from the Playing for Change CD.